Chapter 25. Yes, I ride. But not much, because Papa doesn't like my going alone. ... You must have somebody to look after you. ... And I read, and write a little. ... You should write a novel. The regular resource of people who don't go enough into the world to live a novel is to write one. ... I have done it, said Elfride, looking dubiously at Mrs. Swankert, as if in doubt whether she would meet with ridicule there. That's right. Now then, what is it about, dear? About, well, it is a romance of the Middle Ages. Knowing nothing of the present age, which everybody knows about, for safety you chose an age known neither to you nor other people. That's it, eh? No, I don't mean it, dear. Well, I have had some opportunities of studying medieval art and manners in the library and private museum at Endelstow House, and I thought I should like to try my hand upon a fiction. I know the time for these tales is past, but I was interested in it, very much interested. When is it to appear? Oh, never, I suppose. Nonsense, my dear girl. Publish it, by all means. All ladies do that sort of thing now. Not for profit, you know, but as a guarantee of mental respectability to their future husbands. An excellent idea of us ladies. Though I am afraid it rather resembles the melancholy ruse of throwing loaves over castle walls at besiegers, and suggests desperation, rather than plenty inside. Did you ever try it? No, I was too far gone even for that. Papa says no publisher will take my book. That remains to be proved. I'll give my word, my dear, that by this time next year it shall be printed. Will you, indeed? Said Elfride, partially brightening with pleasure, though she was sad enough in her depths. I thought brains were the indispensable, even if the only, qualification for admission to the Republic of Letters. A mere commonplace creature like me will soon be turned out again. Oh no, once you are there you'll be like a drop of water in a piece of rock crystal. Your medium will dignify your commonness. It will be a great satisfaction, Elfride murmured, and thought of Stephen, and wished she could make a great fortune by writing romances, and marry him and live happily. And then we'll go to London, and then to Paris, said Mrs. Swankert. I have been talking to your father about it. But we have first to move into the manor house, and we think of staying at Torquay, whilst that is going on. Meanwhile, instead of going on a honeymoon scamper by ourselves, we have come home to fetch you, and go all together to Bath for 2 or 3 weeks. Elfride assented pleasantly, even gladly, but she saw that, by this marriage, her father and herself had ceased forever to be the close relations they had been up to a few weeks ago. It was impossible now to tell him the tale of her wild elopement with Stephen Smith. He was still snugly housed in her heart. His absence had regained for him much of that aureola of saintship which had been nearly abstracted during her reproachful mood on that miserable journey from London. Rapture is often cooled by contact with its cause, especially if under awkward conditions. And that last experience with Stephen had done anything but make him shine in her eyes. His very kindness in letting her return was his offense. Elfride had her sex's love of sheer force in a man, however ill-directed. And at that critical juncture in London, Stephen's only chance of retaining the ascendancy over her, that his face, and not his parts had acquired for him, would have been by doing what, for one thing, he was too youthful to undertake, that was, dragging her by the wrist to the rails of some altar, and peremptorily marrying her. Decisive action is seen by appreciative minds to be frequently objectless, and sometimes fatal, but decision, however suicidal, has more charm for a woman than the most unequivocal Fabian success. However, some of the unpleasant accessories of that occasion were now out of sight again, and Stephen had resumed not a few of his fancy colors. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.